Welcome to Gripecast with your host, Alex Hernandez. This show is dedicated to consumer technology news and pop culture. Gripecast is owned by Techeris. Visit Techeris.com for the latest tech reviews, news, entertainment, and pop culture. Now sit tight, the show's about to begin. All right, welcome back, guys. Welcome to Gripecast episode number 6. We are live again this week. And, you know, I have been releasing these podcasts on Fridays is what my intention has been, but I may start just releasing them on Thursdays. I don't know. They may just come out. I'm actually contemplating doing more than one podcast a week. A lot going on. Especially when it pertains to Google, and I feel like I should change the name of this podcast to Google Gripecast. I don't know, Rantcast, because there has been so much happening with Google and Google search that I am occupied with it beyond. I'm occupied with Google more than I would like to be. Let's just put it that way. You know, I just plugged in the camera. It's, it's 11:11 a.m. April 25th here in the, Missouri area. And I actually have no script. I have nothing on the docket for today. I had a tooth pulled yesterday, so I'm still recovering from that. So if you hear me kind of talking weird, that might be part of the issue. And the fact that I didn't sleep well last night. Anyway, I just plugged the camera in, turned the microphone on today, and I just thought, I'm just going to rant today. I don't have an agenda other than just to talk about what's happening in the world right now, especially when it comes to search and the internet and Google, but maybe other topics as well. I don't know. I hope you guys had a great weekend this past weekend. We had a great weekend. My son had his mock trial performance, him and his class, and they knocked it out of the park, won by a substantial margin, and I'm very proud of him. So that was a positive note this weekend. So at any rate, let's just jump into it. Let's just jump right into Google. I normally would reserve this portion of the podcast to the end because it's usually the meat of my time with you when I'm really ticked off about something and Google is continually ticking me off. There's a lot that's been revealed over the weekend. There's an account on X by the name of Ed Zitron, and he wrote an article called "The Man Who Killed Google Search," and I'll link it in the show notes and make sure I link to his X account. But anyway, it's a lengthy article, but well worth reading. I still have not gotten through the entire article myself. I think the reason for this is that nearly every paragraph in this article is so full of data, so full of things that my brain has to process and to understand the entirety of it. And he kind of ran through on X and did a synopsis of his work, which was helpful, but I have to go back and reread this article again and again because there's just so much packed in there. And the article is talking about Google's head of search. I can't pronounce his name, so you'll have to look up at his X account for the name. I'm just going to call him PR for now because it's Prabhakar Raghavan. Very difficult to pronounce, so I butchered it probably there. So that's That's the only time I'm going to say it. PR. So there's a gentleman named by the name of PR who is running Google search, and he previously was the head of Google Ads, and previous to that, he was the head of Yahoo search before he came to Google. So he opens up on X saying, today's newsletter is the story of how PR, Google's former head of ads, led a coup so that he could run Google search, and how an email chain from 2019 began a cascade of events that would lead to him running it into the ground. In February 2019, Google's ads and finance teams called a code yellow on search because revenue was slow. And seriously, people were not asking Google enough questions. Ben Gomez, the then head of search, refused to make Google search worse for profit. So basically the gist of this is of the article is PR, who was the head of Google Ads, was pressuring the head of Google search at the time, Ben Gomez, pressuring the search team. So the ads team was pressuring the search team to make search more ad friendly. They wanted more ad revenue through search. And Ben Gomez refused to work with that. So Zitron goes on saying, Ben Gomez, head of search, fought against people like Jerry Dischler, VP and GM of ads, and PR, head of ads, who were arbitrarily demanding people search more on Google. Privately, Gomez worried search was getting too close to the money, quote, too close to the money. So PR and Dischler were pressuring Ben Gomez and the search team to integrate ads more into Google search, and so that people would stay on the search platform and would click on ads through the search platform rather than go through websites. So Zitron goes on to say, Gomez managed to help get Google through the code yellow, but Raghavan demanded more, saying Ben hadn't increased inquiries enough. Gomez sent a letter stating that he was deeply, deeply uncomfortable with the way that Google wanted to grow search. And just to clarify too, if you're listening, I encourage you to go to show notes and click on the links. I'm not going to define everything in the podcast, such as code yellow, but it's a code yellow is a term used within Google as a flag. And Zitron does a good job of explaining all that. I believe he calls it Scientology-esque terminology, something to that effect. At any rate, so we know that now Ben Gomez is not happy with what's going on with the ads team and how they are pressuring them to grow search in a more revenue-focused manner. So he goes on to say, I believe the changes from the code yellow rolled back anti-spam protections from 2012 and 2018 and deliberately made ads harder to distinguish from regular results. We've seen that, right? We've seen how when you do a search, the first four or five results are ads. And then it became less obvious that they're ads. They're still marked as ads, but not in the same way anymore. So search results have gotten worse and worse, and it's not just 2024 that this is going on. It's been going on for a long time. So Zitron says, I believe the changes from the code yellow rolled back anti-spam protections from 2012 to 2018 and made ads harder to distinguish from regular results. 5 months later, former head of ads, PR, would be made head of search. So PR, head of ads, is now head of search. And what do you know? What did PR want? He wanted more ads within search. So now he is in the position to make that happen without anybody standing in his way. So Gomez is out. Gomez, the guy who was legit trying to make a good search engine, relevant information, and helping the user, is out. So Zitron goes on to say, PR may be a computer scientist, but he joined Google in 2012 as a manager, working directly under CEO Sundar Pichai. I can say that name. A former McKinsey man. PR is a class traitor that deliberately ran out Ben Gomez, who worked on the search for 19 years. Ben Gomez is a hero who dedicated a good chunk of his life to Google search. PR's previous job was running search and ads at Yahoo from 05 to 12, taking it from 30.4% of the search market to replacing its search tech with Bing. So, PR, back in 2005, 2012, if you read through the article, you'll see that Yahoo was like he says, 30% of the search market. But by the time PR leaves, I think that was down to 12, 11%. So he ran Yahoo into the ground. And you'll have to read the article to read more about how that happened and what the results were. I mean, we know what the results are, right? Yahoo is, who uses Yahoo anymore, right? So Zitron goes on to say, PR is a career failure, a man who has fallen upwards into the most important job in software. And since becoming head of search in 2020, Google has become an ultra profitable, and increasingly less useful site. PR is a villain. This is Zitron who's speaking here. And that's kind of been the consensus across a lot of the posts I've seen on X, that PR is the guy. He's the guy that's done what we're seeing in results here in Google search, and what is happening with Google is directly PR's fault. So Zitron goes on to say, PR is a painful example of what happens when you allow the tech industry to be run by managers and management consultants who don't use the things that make them rich. He's responsible for killing search, and I want you to know his name. Again, that's Zitron talking here. And I completely agree with Ed here. When you have a product and the creators of that product, the developers of that product are no longer involved in taking care of that product, and now it's just a management position, the product ends up failing, or it's heading that way. And we're seeing that almost in real time with Google. We're seeing the fall of Google search almost in real time here, guys. It's fascinating and scary at the same time. It's frustrating. I wouldn't say scary. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to me because, our site relies on search. And so it's frustrating to see where it's heading. And Ed is completely right here that management, especially a career management person, is generally not the person to be running things when it comes to a creative, when it comes to something that's been built by people. You know, let's face it, they run it into the ground, and that's what PR is doing here. Zitron goes on to say, anyway, here's PR from a few hours ago saying that the new operating reality of search is that they'll have less time to do things. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see my screen, and Google, he references a headline that says Google search boss warns employees of new operating reality, urges them to move faster. And I think he has a little quote here. It says, PR had some tangible changes. This is a quote from the article, I believe, that's on. He doesn't reference it. It looks like it might be on MSNBC or NBC. Anyway, it says, PR had some tangible changes to announce. He said the company plans to build teams closer to users in key markets, including India and Brazil, and revealed that he's shortening the amount of time that his reports have to complete certain projects in an effort to move faster. So go read this stuff for yourself, but there you go. They don't have time. Move faster. Make money. That's the goal. I mean, I don't deny that businesses need to make money, right? I mean, that's what I'm in business for. That's why I create content. I want to create content that I'm hoping that some of you enjoy, and I can't please everybody. That's why there's different content creators, right? We're all different. We all contribute something different. But, I take care of the content that I created. I need to make revenue in order to create the content, but I also care about my content. I care about what I produce. I care about my audience. I care about the things that I put out there. It's not just about the bottom line. And that, from what Ed Zeitrin's saying here, it used to be that Google cared about the product. They cared about delivering a good product and a good experience, but that's gone out the window with PR. So Zeitrin goes on to say, further context from an ex search engineer that shares a little more context about how things got so much worse for search technologically, excuse me. And he references an ex-Googler, says an ex, so this is a post from GregW134. I'm not sure where he got this from. It says ycombinator.com. Anyway, so Greg says, ex-Google search engineer here from 2019 to 2023. I know a lot of the veteran engineers were upset when Ben Gomez got shunted off. Probably the bigger change from what I've heard was losing Amitit Singhal. I can't pronounce the name. I'm sorry if I butchered it again. Who led search until 2016. Amit fought against creeping complexity. There's a semi-famous internal document he wrote where he argued against the other search leads that Google should use less machine learning, or at least contain it as much as possible, so that ranking stays debuggable and understandable by human search engineers. My impression. So what he's saying there is, you know, we're in the AI, right? We're in the AI genre now. That's what we're doing. We have Bard, whatever that Gemini now. Sorry, and they changed the name of this thing constantly. So we know for a fact that Google has a PR and his team, and I'm just going to call it straight out. Why not? Screw it. PR and his team have been stealing my content and the content of other content creators on the internet, scraping our sites to feed Gemini AI. And that's what he's talking about here, where he says, let me get back to it here. Where he argued against the other search leads that Google should use less machine learning, or at least contain as much as possible, so that ranking stays debuggable and understandable by human search engineers. My impression is that since he left, complexity exploded with every team launching as many deep learning projects as they can. So there was some people within Google saying, "Hey, we need to back off on the AI, back off on the machine learning." We need human search engineers to be able to understand the data and so they can debug it and they can understand it instead of relying on machine learning. But that's where we're heading. That's where Google is heading, is machine search learning. And they're pushing us out using our content so that they can provide the search results that they've stolen. Greg goes on to say, the problem, though, is the older systems had obvious problems, with the newer systems have hidden bugs and conceptual issues, which often don't show up in the metrics and which compound over time as more complexity is layered on. For example, I found an off by one error deep in a formula from an old launch that has been reordered top results for 15% queries since 2015. You have to go and read Ed's original X post in its entirety, and his whole article, The Man Who Killed Google Search. I'll link to all this below in the show notes. This is very, very lengthy. And you'll have to, like I said, I'm still not through this thing. There's so much to parse and so much to understand. I mean, it's ridiculous. So there's a lot of comments to go through here on this thread too, as well. Just encourage you to get on that and just check it out for yourselves. Let me go over now. Lila Ray posted today. So we know that the Google search algorithm update it's been happening, I think, for now almost 2 months. And there's a lot in this update. And this is the update that's killed TechAris. And it's PR's update. I'm going to reference him again. I'm going to keep saying I can't pronounce his name, but no, we'll bold it in the show notes so you guys know who I'm talking about. But PR and his team are still doing their little update, and it's affecting pretty much everybody except for the big boys that pay for Google Ads. And that's the point of Ed's X post, or his article that he wrote on his site, that Google Ads, if you're not buying, no, I didn't say this as far as I can tell. This is me talking. If you're not buying ads from Google, I mean, for your own site, not saying putting ads on your site, but even purchasing, because we have the option as a publisher, I have the option of putting ads on my website, which I do. And I have the option of purchasing ads for my website so that I can promote my website through other ads, through other websites, which I don't do. I've done that a few times, but I never saw any real return on the money that I spent. So I stopped purchasing ads. So we don't purchase ads from Google anymore. But anyway, Lyle Ray posted today, this morning, and this is when I broke the camera out and I plugged the microphone in. And I was going to try to come up with a script and some topics to talk about today. But man, this pissed me off enough to just let me get the camera out and the microphone. She writes on X, "I've got some bad news for affiliate product review sites." Okay, so that's us. That's what I do. I do product reviews, and yes, we use affiliate links, and yes, one of the requirements that Google has always had is that we have to disclose that we're using affiliate links. And if you look at the bottom of every one of our reviews, and if every one of our reviews, at least until from 2016, 17, maybe even earlier than that, we disclose that we use affiliate links in all of our reviews. I've even gone to the extent of putting that disclaimer on almost every article that I write, even if it's not a review article. Because sometimes I link back to a brand, like today let's talk about the BO System 9000C from Bang & Olufsen. So if you're looking at my screen right now, you can see the article I wrote this morning. The BO System 9000 has been resurrected by Bang & Olufsen. So Bang & Olufsen have re-released their classic BO System 9000 music system. It's an old CD-based music system, and they've revitalized it, put some new tech in it, and it's the BO System 9000C now. Very expensive. But, you know, we wrote about it, and at the bottom, I put find out more on the company's website. You know, and this is not an affiliate link. It's just a link straight to their website. I don't get any commission from this link that's on this particular article. But down below it, I do have our disclaimer that says that we use affiliate links. So anyway, so that's what we are. We're a product review site that uses affiliate links. Back to Lyle Ray. She says, "I've got some bad news for affiliate product review sites. It's not looking good with this Google update. I just dug into several examples where the Wirecutter," where she says arguably the best product review site section on the internet. That's arguably. Whatever. "Has lost position in the last 2 weeks." That's significant. Because while I wouldn't consider Wirecutter the be-all, end-all of review sites, because they aren't, they're a reputable site. Let's just put it that way. I think that would have been a better way to put it. They've been reputable. And so they have lost positions in the last 2 weeks. That's big, because they're a big review site, and they have the income and the money to be as big as they are. Lila goes on to say the drop mostly stems from high volume commercial keywords. Okay, we're getting into SEO speak here, so there's a lot of you won't understand what we're talking about here, but part of Google search is using keywords, and there's a lot of tools that Google actually supplies to publishers to be able to find the right keywords to use. Keywords are the words that you are looking for when you do a search. So when you use Google, you're searching for, let's say you're looking for the Bang & Olufsen BO System 9000C. So my keyword on this actual article here, I used BO System 9000. That's my keyword. And when you type the keyword in the back end of the website, that shows Google that that's what you're trying to, that's the word that you're trying to get this article ranked for. So when people are looking online for BO System 9000C or BO System 9000, hopefully this article will be one of the ones that pops up in search. And that goes for DuckDuckGo and for Bing and for StartPage. They all kind of operate under the same type of thing. So back to SEO speak, here comes Lila again. The drop mostly stems from high volume commercial keywords, 50K plus MSV, but they also include many best, quote, best keywords as well, e.g. best Bluetooth speaker. So that's one of the things where a lot of these sites have done is, and we've done our, I don't want to say fair share, because it's not one of the things that that we do a lot. I don't promote it too often. Every once in a while, we'll do best of, or, you know, best Bluetooth speakers or the best. I was doing a little run there for a little bit, like the best movies of the 80s or the best karate movies of the 80s. People enjoy those type of lists, and they tend to sometimes rank well. So, I did several of those type of best of. Let me see if I can find actually one of the movie ones. If you remember, I haven't done them in a while. We do a lot of Netflix and Crackle and Tubi and BritBox and what's coming to those platforms. But here's one. Here's a Ninja. These are the 20 best, 20 of the best Ninja movies of all time. And I go on. Here's other ones here too. 10 movies that warned us about artificial intelligence. I did a couple of these. And here's the Ninja ones, right? And so 20 of the best Ninja movies, I kind of, you know, we read a couple paragraphs here, and then we list the movies that I think there are 20 of the best Ninja movies out there. And a lot of websites that do these best ofs, I think they just put together things randomly. All these movies I've seen, and that's one thing we do these best ofs, but we do them with the knowledge of the movies or of the product that we're listing. So a lot of sites don't do that. Forbes is huge. Forbes is horrible. Gordon Kelly, the Apple fearmonger guy, that guy is a piece of work. His clickbait titles have been All right, I'm going to resist swearing because I have kids in my house, and hopefully my kids are listening to the podcast. But Gordon Kelly, Forbes has been one of the worst offenders of clickbait and these lists. They'll do a best robot vacuum, and they'll list 10 or 15 robot vacuums, and they've never used them. So anyway, let's get back to Lila, where she says best keywords. She goes on to say, you might think, oh, maybe they were outranked by another product review article. Nope. In every case I've found, they were outranked by an e-commerce site, usually Amazon. And these are product category pages on the e-commerce sites, not informational. So there you go. Oh, it looks like Google search is ranking e-commerce sites as a better source of review than review sites like ours. And in some, you know, the issue I have with e-commerce sites like Amazon is the reviews that you do read on Amazon are highly suspect and many times can be paid for. I've purchased my fair share of tech products from Amazon in which the box contained a card asking for a review, a positive review. And if you left a positive review, they would refund you the purchase price of the product that you bought. So, you got to be careful with Amazon reviews and Best Buy reviews. All the e-commerce reviews, they can be hacked. That's not the right word, but you know, companies and brands. I don't think reputable brands do this, but a lot of these off-brand brands, you know, these generic brands, they will do this. But at any rate, she says that Amazon and e-commerce sites are now outranking review sites like ours. She goes on to say red equal affiliate product review sites, green equal e-commerce sites. So you'll have to go through and I'll link to her, and you can see she's got a lot of data there supporting what she's talking about. And then she goes on to say, look at the distribution of green versus red. The update is still rolling out, so this could change, but it is consistent with what Google has been doing with many updates over the years. And this is why doing SEO for product review sites is not the same as doing SEO for any other type of website. And that is so true, 100%. And doing SEO for product review sites is difficult. It's difficult because if I review a stinking Samsung television, and I write about it in two or three other articles, getting the keyword, you use the same keyword and it gets hard to rank your articles. But I mean, what the hell is ranking anyway? I mean, we're past that now. I don't know. The frustration, I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I am frustrated. Completely frustrated with what's happened. Let's see what else I had. Oh, guys. Anyway, I'm going to end the Google portion here. I've gone 30 minutes with Google. And man, I am so sorry. I feel like I'm hammering you over the head with this crap. Every podcast. And it's, I mean, frustrating to me to deal with this. And I don't know, maybe it's a good thing. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, maybe it's a good thing. I'm getting out of my box. I'm doing something different. I'm doing a podcast now. I'm getting more comfortable in front of the camera. This is my 6th episode. I feel like I'm talking better. I feel like I'm getting the emotions out. And hopefully that's something that's coming across and you guys can resonate with. But I'm sorry that we're talking Google so much. But it is unfortunately what we've created. All of us, we've created this monster, this beast that is a monopoly over search. All I can do is encourage you again, use DuckDuckGo. Don't use Google as a verb, and encourage others to use other means of search and just pull that power out of Google and don't allow them to crush sites like ours and just hundreds of other sites. So we're going to stop. I'm going to end that portion, and I'm going to go long today, I think, but longer than normal. And I apologize. And if you're listening, if you're still listening, I appreciate you highly for listening to this rant and this gripe and just hanging in there with me. So I'm going to end that part of the Google search thing. And I want to jump on one other thing that's concerning Google. And it has to do with a post I saw over the weekend, and post from Nate Hackey. I'm sorry, Nate, if you're listening to the podcast, I hope you are. I apologize for messing up your name, butchering your name. I butcher a lot of names. So he wrote, "Imagine having Google feature your site as a success story. Quote, then Google sends a photographer to feature you on their site. Then you watch your success story business get destroyed by the March update during the photo shoot. So he's quoting Morgan here, who says, "We are one of those success stories. Google Photographer was actually here shooting us for a second feature as the update started in March and crashed our site." And that originally goes back to a post from Tim Wells that says, Doug Cunnington just released a video analyzing how several of Google's publisher success stories have found found most were hit by either the HCU March core update or both. He asks, is Google incompetent or are they lying? And then he references a video. So back to Nate and back to this post here. I responded to Nate, and because what really got me was that publisher success story. Google has a website called Publisher Success Stories. And what they do there is they highlight publishers across the internet who are small publishers and who have done well and have succeeded. Okay, that's what it is. It's a success story, right? So what I found interesting about that is that I got an email a couple of years ago. I can't remember, it was 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, however long ago it was. It wasn't like 10 years ago. It was a few years ago. We were doing well. Techaris was growing. We were growing. And we have been growing. And it's this update. We've gone through Google updates. Core algorithm updates over the years. And we've survived them. They've been fine. But this is the worst. But anyway, I posted that I was approached by Google a little over 2 years ago, or about 2 years ago or less. I can't remember the exact time frame. And I can't find the email they sent me in my Gmail anymore. I looked for it and searched, and I can't find it. And I didn't delete it, but it's gone. They sent me an email, and they said they wanted to feature Techaris as a minority-owned website success under Publisher Success Stories. If you've known me for any amount of time, if you know me, if you just see my last name, Hernandez, I am Hispanic. My mom's side of the family is from Spain. My dad's side of the family is from Mexico. They all immigrated here. I'm third generation. They immigrated here legally, and they, that I'm born here. I'm a United States citizen, and I love my country. I love America. I've been to Spain. I've been to Mexico, and I love my family. I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of my roots. But my life and my roots are here in the States. I was born here, and I'll defend my country. This is my country. But so I didn't. It wasn't that intriguing to me to be minority owned. I've never really used that term, minority owned website. Some people have, and obviously Google found out that I own Techaris, and they obviously know that I am a minority, whatever that means. So they approached me, sent me an email, and asked me if I wanted to be part of this success story and be featured as a minority-owned website. And at first, I was a little put off. I was like, I don't want to be involved in that. That's not who I am. Techaris is Techaris, all right? It's a tech website. We do reviews. We do product news, product reviews. We do some entertainment stuff. It's fun. It's a fun website. I have white guys that work with me. I've worked with black fellas and females, and it doesn't matter to me. So putting myself into a box as a minority Hispanic website owner, I just didn't want to do that. I let it sit there for a couple of days, and then out of curiosity, I just responded. And I said, tell me more about this. Maybe it might be good for the site. I don't know. So I responded, but they never got back to me. So, I'm thinking this publisher success story is the same thing. So now we're seeing websites that were part of this publisher success story, they're being decimated by Google. And what's curious to me is that email from Google is gone out of my Gmail. Why did they contact me via Gmail and not via my website? My official website email address. That would have been more appropriate, but hey, conspiracy alert. Is it because they have control over Gmail and they could delete whatever they want? they can't do that on my server. So at any rate, that I found very interesting. These publisher success stories, these small niche websites. I don't know that I'm a niche website. I'm a news website, a reviews site. Like Lila Ray said, we're very different from niche websites. Niche websites tend to be like travel websites, cooking websites, scrapbooking websites, those kind of websites. So at any rate, I wanted to share that with you guys, that whatever's happening, you know, with Google, it's been ongoing now. It's been a rolling stone. That's the wrong analogy. It's a snowball that's gathering more snow and just going out of control. A rolling stone gathers no moss. Unfortunately, this stone is gathering a lot of moss and just becoming horribly terrible. All right. So that was part two of Google, I guess. I said I was ending it, and I did end it with a very different story. So you can tell I'm fired up today. I'm fired up. A couple other things I had on my mind, just kind of get away from Google and maybe wind things down a bit. And again, you know, I've been doing the MeWe exclusive portions. The first four, five podcasts, we did a MeWe exclusive portion. And the last podcast I didn't because it just was not feeling well. And it's been a busy last month and a half, 2 months. And this whole Google thing has overtaken my life, basically. And we are doing all we can to recover. And at this point, we're going to have to abandon Google, I think. So we're not going to do a MeWe exclusive this week again. I'm sorry, guys, at MeWe. Apologize. My apologies. I just want to get these podcasts out, and when I have to do a MeWe exclusive, when I do the MeWe exclusive, it's extra editing, extra files, extra work, and right now I've just been pretty busy. Anyway, I just want to talk a bit about TikTok, the ban on TikTok coming through here. We had talked about TikTok. So unusual whales on X post TikTok ban or divestment bill has passed. Numerous politicians have bought Meta beforehand. In fact, Michael McCall is the author of the bill, and he brought up $600,000 before voting on 326. Now I bring this up, and the reason I bring this up is, last week I was going through paperwork, and as with any business, you gotta go through paperwork and you gotta go through tax season. It's tax season, right? And you know, the news broke that we're giving another $96 billion to Ukraine and Israel and everywhere else. And you know, I don't get political. I try not to get political. But I don't know what's happening in this. I don't know what's happening with our government. I don't know what's happening with Congress and these people that are spending billions and billions and billions of dollars overseas on wars that we shouldn't even be in. And I owe $400 to the IRS, and by God, they're going to get it by any means possible. Right. So, it's just frustrating to see, that our money is being spent in such a frivolous way, and these politicians are getting rich off of this TikTok ban. You know, they're buying Meta before the bill passes. You know, they sell stocks before certain things happen in Congress via insider trading. Come on, man. You know, and maybe. You know, I've read online that we need to start speaking up, and maybe this is my moment right now on this podcast to speak up a little bit and just say, screw these guys. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of both sides of the butt, both cheeks, left and right. You guys suck. You guys suck. Both of you, Republicans and Democrats, you're doing nothing for this country. inflation's out of control. Things are way more expensive than they were just a few years ago. And you guys are spending money like we have it. And, you know, if I did that, you know, I'd go under. And we're not going under because you guys just keep printing more money. And I don't know what, you know, it's like, if I had a money printing machine, I'd get arrested. So, the TikTok ban, you know, they talked about this years ago and they didn't do it because they didn't want it done. But now all of a sudden they want TikTok banned. Now for me, I don't particularly like TikTok. I think the app is controlled by CCP and it's not a good app to be on. And people should just stop using it, but they're not going to stop using it. And right now, because it's a politically charged app, and that, you know, the political parties are using it as a football. So it has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with your safety. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has everything to do with their power and how they want to control things and how they want to control you. I don't have the answers, man. I'm not a politician. I do see, but I do see the effects that this economy is having on not only on me and my family, but other people too. And I think more people are seeing that, and to see this money being spent on stupid nonsense is infuriating. And, you know, that's my political rant. My first political rant, I think. At any rate, I'm going in 50 minutes long on this podcast, and it's pretty long. Most of it's been spent on Google again. So I apologize again. And I'm sorry I didn't have a scripted, more refined presentation today. But just trying to calm myself down and get this podcast through. And I just kind of wanted to freestyle today. And I think that most of my podcasts, I have a what I call a skeleton. I do that with my reviews too. I write up a skeleton for my review, and then I kind of insert the bits and pieces into it. And that's kind of what I do with my podcasts. I have an outline of where I'm going, and I have several sources that I usually bring up. But today I was freestyling, so I appreciate your patience with me. I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen. If you've come this far at 47 minutes into the podcast, I appreciate you highly. And thanks for listening to me rant and speak. And I am going to sign off now because my mouth is hurting thanks to this pulled tooth. Let me tell you, boys and girls, brush your teeth. Brush your teeth at least 2 times a day. Don't be an idiot like me. And don't drink pop, soda, whatever you want to call it. Stop drinking that crap. It's bad for your teeth. That's what happened to me. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening. Please subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on Rumble, subscribe on all the podcast platforms that are out there that we're on. Check out my Substack, check out techaris.com. The only way we get through this is not going to be through Google search anymore. We had good organic search results a couple years ago. Good organic search results. The majority of my traffic was from organic search results. And now that's dipped down to nothingness. So I need your help. And the only way we're going to survive, the only way I can continue to do this is word of mouth, the people. You guys, you're my search engine. Be my search engine. Share. Like, subscribe, hit the notification bell. All these things are helpful, and we're going to continue, you know, people say, why are you still on YouTube? Why, you know, we have to use the platforms that we have. I'm on YouTube, yeah, but I'm on Rumble. We're on BitChute. We're on Odyssey. We're on all the major platforms, Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Podcaster. You name it, we're on it. Substack. Make sure you subscribe. Follow me on all the platforms that you use. If we're there, if I'm there, please follow me. Like posts, share posts. That's the way that we get the word out for the independents now. It's no longer, we're on our own. We're on our own, so we need your help. On that note, I wish you guys a blessed and healthy weekend. It's raining here in southern Missouri. It's supposed to rain all weekend, and I don't really like the rain, but you know what? God is good, and he needs to water the grass so I can mow it. So take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and we will talk to you on the other side.